Let us pray. Lord, as we explore your word this morning, open our eyes to see you at work. Open our ears to hear your words. Open our minds and help us to interpret your message through the power of the Holy Spirit. And open our hearts to receive your love. Amen. I actually want to start this morning with a few verses before the set reading today. Mark 8 begins with a recount of the feeding of the 4,000. The disciples have seen many miraculous signs and acts by Jesus. But Mark 8 verse 27 says, Jesus and his disciples went to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way he asked them, "Who do you say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Peter recognized Jesus as the Messiah. I want to begin with a very personal question this morning. Who is Jesus to you? As I mentioned a few moments ago, Jesus and the disciples are at Caesarea Philippi, and this chapter is bursting with significance and importance. Here we observe Peter's confession, Jesus' first prediction of the passion, and the conditions of discipleship. At the very beginning of this passage, Jesus begins with a prediction of his death. Verses 31 and 32. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. It was all too much for Peter. A short while ago, Peter had recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah, the hope of Israel, the hope to the Jews. Now this Messiah was declaring that he had to suffer many things, be rejected by those in authority, and be killed. Bible commentators explain that this formal rejection of Jesus would have meant for Peter and the 12 disciples that Jesus' mission was a failure. The reason Peter takes Jesus in hand to rebuke him is Peter's conviction that Jesus is the Christ, and that this means that God is with him and that he cannot fail. So who was Jesus to Peter? Everyone at that time expected the Messiah to be a great military leader, a new King David. In fact, someone from the line of David, someone who fulfilled all the prophecies, the someone who would overthrow and defeat the occupiers, the Roman authorities. The Messiah would be victorious. In Peter's eyes, the Messiah could not fail. The problem was, though, that Peter was seeing things from the viewpoint of the world, not from God's viewpoint. Verse 33 continues, "But when Jesus turned and looked at the disciples, he rebuked Peter. 'Get behind me, Satan,' he said. 'You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but the things of men.'" Verses 31 to 33 emphasize the necessity of the cross and the cost of messiahship. Jesus was beginning to prepare his disciples for the suffering that lay ahead. It's very clear that Jesus' followers did not understand the predictions Jesus made about his death. Peter, who a few verses ago was God's spokesman, turned into the devil's advocate. In Mark's gospel, Jesus' rebuke applies to Peter's rejection of Jesus' suffering. This was not the news people wanted to hear. They were expecting a military Messiah, someone who would overthrow the Roman occupation and rule as king. God's plan was different. And it was indeed God's plan, not one based on worldly values. Jesus would have to suffer. Jesus would be rejected by the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Jesus would be killed. But at the end, Jesus would rise again. Put at its simplest, the cross is necessary, indeed essential, to Jesus' mission. He had to suffer. He had to die in order to pay the price for people's sins. In Peter's eyes, in the world's eyes, Jesus' suffering and death would be signs of failure. But in God's eyes, Jesus' obedience to his Father's plan was victorious. To deny the cross is to deny Jesus' act of salvation. Although Peter may not have realized it, he was denying the cross. Satan wants people to deny the cross, hence the strength of Jesus' rebuke to Peter. The first verse of the Matt Redman song, "The Cross Says It All," says, "The cross has said it all. The cross has said it all. I can't deny what you have shown. The cross speaks of a God of love, there displayed for all to see. Jesus Christ, our only hope, a message of the Father's heart. Come, my children, come on home." Bible commentators explain that being a disciple, a follower of Jesus, means being a privileged member of Jesus' kingdom. As Jesus demonstrated, the role is one of a servant, which means thinking God's thoughts, pursuing the life of the cross through the message and example of Jesus, and hence rejecting status and the treasures of the world. The disciples in Mark's Gospels are privileged members of the kingdom of God, and their incomprehension comes from their worldly expectations. Discipleship instruction directs them to think God's way, the way of suffering and of the cross through servanthood. Who do you say Jesus is? In verses 34 to 38, we see Jesus explaining the cost of discipleship and the way of the cross. Verses 34 to 38 are directed at those who want to follow Jesus, follow the Messiah, and the cost involved. As Jesus explained, those who chose to follow him have to follow the way of the cross. Reading verses 34 to 38 once again. "Then Jesus called the crowd to him, along with the disciples, and said, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels.'" There are 5 points in our reading so far. The first one, that the Son of Man had to suffer. We see Jesus rebuking Peter. A follower of Jesus must deny himself or herself and follow Jesus. Do not be ashamed of Christ and also the day of judgment. Jesus issues a call to discipleship and a warning about its cost. I think the first thing to note about this part of the reading is that Jesus is speaking plainly to the people. There is no use of parables, no hidden meanings. It is in plain language and to the point. So what makes it so challenging and difficult to understand? It's challenging and hard to understand when we look at it from a worldly viewpoint. This guidance is against everything the world says it should be. Try to look at it from God's viewpoint, and it is seen in a completely different light. So what is God's viewpoint? Some very familiar words from John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The cost of discipleship is following the example of Jesus, carrying our cross. We have to be prepared to share in the suffering of Jesus, denying ourselves, having concern for others, and acts of selfless service instead of selfish ambition. Jesus explains that the soul is more valuable than the world. Science can pretty much explain our physical makeup, our DNA strands, etc. But what explains our soul? The dictionary defines the soul as the spirit or immaterial part of man, the seat of human personality, intellect, will, and emotions, regarded as an entity that survives the body after death. Every single one of us is a unique individual. In the whole of time, there has never been anyone exactly the same as us. Each of us is unique. The soul is a gift from God, a gift from a God of love, a God who sent his only Son to the cross as an act of love to save us and to have that opportunity to be with him. One of Mark's objectives in writing the gospel is to demonstrate that Jesus had freely chosen the road of suffering, that his followers should be prepared to do the same thing. Those who want to be a part of the kingdom must follow Jesus in the way of submission and sacrificial service. Richard Foster, in his book, A Celebration of Discipline, explains that self-denial is a simple way of coming to understand that we do not have to have our own way. He also writes that our happiness is not determined upon getting what we want. There is a reference to the glory that Jesus is to receive, but it's a glory won by obedience to the will of God. Jesus was obedient, undergoing bitter suffering and death in accordance with the plan of God. The image of discipleship as following Jesus' path of service and humiliation. A Bible commentator has put it simply, puts verse 34 simply as, no cross, no glory, no crown. And this is true for each one of us. To take up the cross was a sign of accepting a shameful slave's death in the eyes of a non-Christian world. Loss is gain, and gain is loss. I just want to finish with two extracts from John Stott's book, Contemporary Christian. He writes, "True freedom is freedom to be my true self, as God made me and meant me to be. And God made me for loving. But loving is giving, self-giving. Therefore, in order to be myself, I have to deny myself and give myself in order to be free. I have to serve. In order to live, I have to die to my own self-centeredness. In order to find myself, I have to lose myself in loving. John Stott also writes about agape love. He says, agape love means the sacrifice of oneself in the service of others. By its very nature, it cannot be self-directed. How can we sacrifice ourselves to serve others? It's impossible. The very idea is nonsense. The way of Jesus is the opposite. He taught that great paradox that only when we lose ourselves do we find ourselves. Only when we die to ourselves do we learn to live. And only through serving others are we ourselves free. So to summarize, Jesus' journey to the cross was God's plan to save humanity from their sin and to demonstrate his love towards them. Jesus took up his cross and died to fulfill his Father's will, an act of unconditional love towards each and every one of us. He calls us to demonstrate this love for others through our own service as we take up our crosses and follow Jesus. Who do you say Jesus is? Lord Jesus, thank you that you journey to the cross in complete obedience to your Father's will, that through your death and resurrection, our sins can be forgiven, and that we can have an eternal relationship with God. Help each of us to carry our cross. Help us to see our journey of faith and obedience through your eyes. Help us to love those around us and those we meet day by day. May your light shine and your love flow through each one of us. Amen.